It's a new year, and 2024 brings us a whole new set of comic book movies to get excited about. But there's actually only five major Marvel and DC films coming out in 2024, at least theatrically, and I'm going to be ranking all five of those from my least to most anticipated, starting right after the interlude. Hey everybody, welcome back to Movie Morning. It's been a couple of weeks, but I am back to rank the five upcoming 2024 comic book movies from my least excited to my most excited. I am covering five films that are all coming out sometime this year, at least theatrically. There are a couple, of course, animated films from DC, a lot of TV shows coming from DC, as well as Marvel. How many of them will be good? We have no idea. But I'm not going to be talking about those. I'm specifically talking about the theatrical films. There are also some other like comic book movies like The Old Guard 2, that does not come out theatrically, so I'm not going to be talking about that here. I'm only going to be talking about the five main ones. Now, the main reason I decided to do this was because only one of these even made my honorable mentions, or should I say top 10. Well, actually, the one that did is my most anticipated movie of the entire year, and obviously, because of that, you know what's going to be number one on this list. But other than that, I did not get a chance to talk about any of these movies in my normal most anticipated list. So because of that, I'm going to be covering them here and counting down which ones I am the least to most excited for. And with that said, let's not waste any more time and let's get started. Just always remember, this is my list. If you want to share what your most anticipated 24 comic book movie is, even though I don't feel like there's really any debate, you may let me know in the poll section over on Spotify and vote for the one you're most excited for. With that said, let's get started. Kicking off my list at number five is Madame Web. I think this movie looks pretty terrible in every single way. I have grown very tired of Sony's Spider-Man spin-offs that don't involve Spider-Man and are tackling very obscure characters and ones that I don't even think would make them for that interesting of movies. With Venom, he's had his own solo comics many times. It makes sense why you'd want to make a Venom movie. When it comes to Madame Web, I honestly have no idea where the logic is. Similar to Morbius, the character, while interesting and definitely is a very unique character in terms of Spider-Man and his rogues gallery, I just think for her to lead a movie, you need to change her up dramatically, which begs the question, what's the point of adapting her from a comic book story? And what's the point of creating this whole new Sony Spider-Man universe if you're never going to have Spider-Man in it? And this movie is pretty much the biggest casualty of I think, Sony's direction with this universe, where they've got some really good actors in this movie that I'm really looking forward to see, like the actor for playing Ben Parker. I really like Dakota Johnson. I like Sydney Sweeney. And I'm looking forward to seeing them, and I think the Spider-Woman costume certainly looks amazing. But other than that, the trailers, I think, have been pretty bad. Bringing on S.J. Clarkson as the director, I don't really think gets me that excited. It just has this very generic look that all these Sony Marvel films have, and this very much looks like it's going to be the next Morbius. And because of that alone, I can't get excited about this movie. I'm not even the biggest fan of Madame Web as a character. I don't think she's all that interesting, and I think she's 100% a supporting character. I have no idea how you're going to make her a lead in this movie, even if you're going to throw a bunch of spider people in there and references to get us in the seats. I really don't think this movie is going to be good. I don't think it's going to be received well. And I think after this movie, Sony is going to really rethink the way they're releasing these Spider-Verse movies. Because I can tell you right now, the Hypno-Hustler movie is not going to happen if the Madame Web movie doesn't perform well. So yeah, I don't recommend going to see this movie. I haven't even seen it. I can pretty confidently tell you that. Coming in at number four is Venom 3. Now, similar to Madame Web, everything applies once again. I'm absolutely sick of these Sony Spider-Man spinoffs that don't involve Spider-Man. I want these villains to go up against Spider-Man. If that means pumping out a Spider-Man movie every 2 years just to make sure you retain the rights, fair enough. But then, and then go full pedal in the metal with the Tom Holland movies and have him fight all these great villains. When it comes to Venom, I am a fan of Venom. He's never been one of my favorite Spider-Man villains, but I did really enjoy the first Venom movie that was directed by Ruben Fleischer. And when it came to Venom, Let There Be Carnage, I once again had fun with it, but I did feel like by the end of that movie, the shtick and the whole Venom-Eddie dynamic, played both by Tom Hardy, very energetic, and I love him. I feel like the shtick kind of got old by the end of the Let There Be Carnage, and after that movie, I kind of just wanted to see him fight Spider-Man, but not in the universe they set up. I just want you to carry over Tom Hardy and his performance into a movie where we can actually have an actual Venom story told. But with the universe they've set up, that's never really going to happen. And I don't imagine he's ever going to cross paths with Tom Holland Spider-Man because of what they did in the post-credits scene of that movie and how they so quickly got rid of it in Spider-Man No Way Home. So when it comes to Venom 3, we're in a really weird place with the franchise. And like I said, I'm a little tired of the Sony Spider-Man universe, but even more so, I feel like we've kind of played out the Venom shtick, and it looks like once again we're going to have another symbiote villain with Toxin, which I just have no interest in. Like, I genuinely would have liked to see a movie where Venom gets hunted by Kraven, and I know we just had that in the video games, but I feel like it works pretty well. I mean, look at the sales of that game. And they have a Kraven movie coming out. I feel like it was such a missed opportunity to not at least tie those two together somehow. And when it comes to this movie, this just feels like the leftovers. Like, just, oh, we have to do another one just to complete a trilogy. And if we get this third movie, it's going to mean that this version of Venom, played by Tom Hardy, has more solo movies than Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man. Which is just bizarre when you think about it. He has as many as Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, which is just weird to think about, because I really don't think anybody holds this version of the character to that high of standards. So when it comes to this third Venom movie, I feel like there isn't really much to get excited about. There's nothing new really to look forward to. Kelly Marcel is directing. She wrote the past movie, so maybe she does have the best handle of this character. But who knows? We'll see. I'm very much just I'll be there to see the movie, of course, because I enjoy this franchise enough. But this movie is not going to be anything special. And I know that going into this, because I was hoping Let There Be Carnage was going to be, and it just wasn't. Coming in my number three is Kraven the Hunter. Now, I imagine I'm probably going to have this movie one place above most other people. And that's mainly for the fact that we are getting a rated R Kraven film starring Aaron Taylor Johnson. Now, Kraven the Hunter is one of my all-time favorite Spider-Man villains. He's appeared in some of my favorite Spider-Man comics and some of the most high-profile pieces of Spider-Man media ever, like Spider-Man 2. But I feel like we're still waiting for a true adaptation of him on the big screen, whether that's animated, whether that's live-action, and we are getting a solo film with him. And there are things about this movie I'm really looking forward to. One, I really like the casting of Aaron Taylor Johnson as Kraven. I think he can do a great job. Russell Crowe being in this movie, that's great. I love the idea of bringing in the Chameleon. He's another one of my favorite Spider-Man villains, and he is so underused. I'm really excited to see him. The Rhino, don't necessarily need him. I feel like we can just have a brother story with the Chameleon. Honestly, that would have been way more interesting. But I really liked the cast. I think that there's some potential behind the scenes. And when it comes to the trailer they put out, I thought it was a pretty big mixed bag, in the sense that, again, it's going to be rated R. It's going to be an actual villain movie where the villain can be a villain, which I think I'm really looking forward to seeing. I like Kraven as a character. But it still has that very generic Sony vibe to it. I'm more excited for this one just based off of being rated R and actually going all out in actually making this character a villain. Because the trailer does say this is the origin for one of Spider-Man's most famous villains. And I hope they carry through with that. And that little marketing gimmick alone does make me more excited for this movie than the other two Spider-Man spin-offs we are getting this year. I hope it's fun at the very least. But again, the trailer just looks very generic. It feels like there's a distinct lack of much related to Spider-Man. It just feels like it's going to be a pretty generic action thriller. Fine, but I feel like this one probably has the most potential because it's going to have its harnesses just off for most of the runtime. So I'm at least looking forward to that. There's a couple Spider-Man characters I'm looking forward to seeing in this movie. And it all comes down to that, and that's why it's at number three on this list. My runner-up is Joker Folie à Deux. Now, a lot of people seem to be surprised that I did not have this in my top 10 most anticipated of 2024 because I love the first Joker. And while I did specifically say, I think when that movie came out, that I feel like that was definitely a one-time thing you could do with the character of Joker. And really, with that kind of whole trick of just picking King of Comedy, Taxi Driver, putting them together, and making a Joker movie is only really going to work once. And I feel like that was such a standalone story. I feel like doing a sequel, while it doesn't undermine that, doesn't really get me excited because I feel like this character's story has already been told and I don't really know what else you could do. Now, bringing in Lady Gaga as Harley Quinn, I feel like was a very interesting direction. I think that's a great piece of casting. I would love to see her play Harley Quinn. And that's probably the thing I'm most excited to see. The movie being a musical, I'm pretty conflicted on. On the one hand, I like that they're taking a big risk. And now how much of a musical will actually be? Are they just saying that for like two musical numbers? And because we're bringing Lady Gaga and she's going to sing at least one song in this movie. I don't know that they could just be doing that. But I really think going in that direction and telling you that's what the movie is right away has to mean something. Because the first movie made $1 billion. They pretty much could have done whatever they wanted going into the sequel. And I'm assuming people are still going to be interested because that movie was such an anomaly. It was a rated R drama about just a mentally ill person that made $1 billion because of the name Joker alone. And because of all the great word of mouth. And while the first movie is so great, It's not the most rewatchable movie. I don't really know if people are going to want to spend another 2 hours with this character. But Joaquin Phoenix, I'm sure, will deliver a fantastic performance. At the very least, I trust, because he signed on to do this, that they have an interesting story they want to tell. And whether that's going to be fully set in Arkham Asylum, although apparently not, so we have had set photos out of that, but making this a very claustrophobic thriller, I would really like to see that. I hope they use Lady Gaga's Harley Quinn well. But again, I can't get too excited for this movie, because the first one was such a standalone movie. That feels like the theme of this. Like, movies that just do have potential can be entertaining, but aren't the movies that I want to see from this genre, especially not right now when we're getting hit with one of the lowest phases of this genre we've ever had, which just, there's no argument there. That just is the case. But the first Joker was great. It was nominated for Best Picture. Joaquin Phoenix won Best Actor. They're going on doing the sequel. Warner Brothers obviously wanted it, but was there an actual reason to do that other than because it's going to be a big hit at the box office? I don't know. We'll find out. I really hope so. But I can't say I'm too excited based off the information we have alone, and because the first movie was such a successful standalone movie. But easily, coming in at my number one is Deadpool 3. On the complete opposite end of the spectrum from the other four movies, I cannot wait to see this movie, and I'm not going to spend too long talking about it because I've already talked about this movie ad nauseum. The trailer looks like it's just a couple of weeks away, and I will be covering and breaking it all down for you when it comes out after the Super Bowl. At least that's my understanding of when it comes out. I cannot wait for this movie. I'm a huge Deadpool fan. I loved the first two movies, particularly the first one. I still really like the second one, and I honestly think people are a little too hard on it. It might even be funnier than the first in some ways. Definitely not as much of a heartfelt story, but maybe more superficially entertaining. And the idea of bringing back Hugh Jackman as Wolverine to team up with Ryan Reynolds in a buddy cop adventure across the multiverse, maybe not the direction I would have gone if you were going to team them up, but based off everything we've seen, them actually shooting this movie practically and out there bringing a bunch of these characters that I've always wanted to see on the big screen back, like hopefully James Marsden, Cyclops, I don't know, we'll see who ends up showing up in this movie. But most importantly, it really does feel like Ryan Reynolds and Sean Levy went out of their way to take their time with this movie and really get it right. Because this movie could have been a movie that Disney, as soon as they bought Fox, what we are now known as 20th Century Studios, could have just squatted out immediately just to make a bunch of money, because both Deadpool 1 and 2 were incredibly successful. They almost made the same amount of money, and they're, I believe, two of the four highest grossing movies, or two of the five highest grossing movies, R-rated movies of all time. But Ryan Reynolds and his writers, Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, who also wrote the first two movies, have been taking their time to get this movie right. It seems like Disney just gave them carte blanche to do whatever they wanted. Disney did not hold them back in terms of, you know, the rated R aspect. Ryan Reynolds has opened, and the writers have openly stated that, and that gets me really excited. And again, bringing in Sean Levy, who, when it comes to his movies with Ryan Reynolds, Free Guy was an absolute blast, and so much better than it really had any right being. And then even The Adam Project, that was just such a heartfelt, fun, kind of Amblin-style family movie. And it was so much better than, again, it really should at any right being, with all the, you know, things surrounding that movie in terms of it being a Netflix movie and being a sci-fi movie with big movie stars in it. That was a movie that was so much more heartfelt than it really should have been. And I feel like them bringing those sensibilities over to Deadpool would be a little bit more stabby, as Ryan Reynolds said when he first announced that Sean Levy would be directing this film. I just really hope they capture the magic. And again, bringing back Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, come on, how can you not be excited? Obviously, they already said they're not going to tamper with his death in Logan. I know there's some worries there, but I really think they are going to deliver an entertaining blast that's so much fun. This is my most anticipated movie of the entire year. Obviously, I love the MCU, but this is the only MCU movie coming out this year, and it is by far my most anticipated of any of their movies coming out in the next couple of years. Because I feel like it has so much potential. The right creatives are behind this movie to get it right. And this movie could really be the movie that actually finally shows that the people behind the scenes do know what's going on. They know the MCU is on a bit of a slump. And I think this movie is very much going to lean into making fun of that. And I think that could be so much fun. And even making fun of the whole multiverse shtick and using the cameos in this movie just to really, I guess you would say, dog on what everyone else has done with the multiverse could be a really fun direction to go. And I hope it works, and I can't wait to see this movie. We're teaming up Hugh Jackman with Ryan Reynolds as Wolverine and Deadpool, respectively. If you just said that, that would have been enough to make this my most anticipated movie of the year, and it is without a doubt my most anticipated comic book movie of 2024. So yeah, This movie's only like 6 months away now. I can't wait. I'll be back in a couple of weeks to discuss the first teaser they put out. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'll catch you all next time. Bye-bye.